The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome. Welcome to The Big Show. I know it's slushy and messy out there. I know a bunch of you are taking another snow day. Stay off the roads after three. That's all I ask. But I hope you're staying safe. I heard there were almost 100,000 people without power earlier today. But we're here. We're hanging out with you. And we're really glad that you're making us part of your afternoon. Let's get right to The Big Lead.
The Big Lead. I sense a Dory rant coming on.
You know that I'm a tad bit cynical about politics and about a lot of politicians. I heard something yesterday that was about as infuriating as anything I've heard from a politician. I don't know how their brains can possibly work. They're not just their brains. But in the case of Governor Jay Inslee, I don't know how his brain, his heart, and his soul can possibly work in the way it did when he made this comment about the snowstorm that hit our region. He was doing a presser with Jenny Durkin and Dow Constantine, and they were talking about, you know, what emergency services were kicked in and how they were going to handle the roads. And the thing was wrapping up, and that's when Jay Inslee, as an afterthought, said something that was as sickening and as crass as you will ever hear.
I want to say something, too, and I hope it's not too off talk of it, but I have to say it. When I think of our community that has homeless people who actually, one of whom lost their life to exposure, and realize that we don't have a system to handle this problem in the state, it kind of drives me nuts, given the wealth that exists in the state of Washington. And I just want to note that, because today in the legislature we have a proposal to have a tax system on really high-income people that in part will help deal with this. And I know when I talk to legislators, I'm going to remind them of that, that when a state that has this enormous pockets of wealth, to have a system where we can take care of homeless people and they're not dying of exposure, I hope that's a lesson we take from this snowstorm this year.
Unbelievable. So Jay Inslee used the snowstorm and the death of a homeless person to push for a state income tax. And that's exactly the bill that he's discussing. It's a capital gains tax, which is an income tax and is expressly forbidden under our Washington state constitution. And it just makes you wonder, at what point, when you heard about the death of the homeless person, at what point do you start thinking, how can I use this death to push for an income tax? Is it immediate? Is it aides who come in and they workshop it for a few minutes? How do we use this person's death to push for an unconstitutional income tax? We've voted on income tax many, 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 many times in this state, and we've said no every time. It is patently unconstitutional. And a capital gains tax is an income tax. The person who died, had this person been approached by navigation teams offering shelter, offering meals, offering the services, because every time they do a sweep, they offer services. One time they did a sweep a couple of months ago, they offered services to 30 homeless people. One out of 30 accepted. Jay Inslee knows. And if he doesn't know, then, you know, not only is he not bright enough to be president, he's not bright enough to be running the state. But Jay Inslee should know that the homelessness problem has nothing to do with a lack of money. We spend $100,000 per year per homeless person in Seattle and King County. $100,000 per homeless person. But the fact of the matter is that most refuse all help and refuse all services because they want a life with no rules. And if that means staying on the streets and breaking into cars and getting their next fix one car prowl at a time, then that's what they will do. How much more money, Mr. Governor, as you use this to pitch something that's unconstitutional? How much more per homeless person? And we have solved the problem. I know people who raise a family of four on much less than $400,000 a year. But you take any group of four homeless people in Seattle and King County, that's how much the taxpayers are spending on them. I know people who raise a family of four. You can have low six figures. You know, husband, wife, they each make 60 grand a year. They afford a place. They have a place to live. They have a couple of vehicles. Their kids can participate in sports. Maybe they can do a family vacation in the summertime. Drive down to Disneyland or maybe splurge. Maybe they can once in a while fly to Hawaii or something as a family. I know people who can do that on much less than $400,000 a year. But that's what we spend on every grouping of four homeless people. $400,000 tax dollars a year. And Jay Inslee stands up there yesterday and uses the death of a homeless person to say, so since this guy died in the snowstorm, let's get an unconstitutional income tax going here in Washington. I, again, have to ask, what goes through the heart and the mind and the soul of people who propose things like this? Who see the death of somebody who was so far gone? Because we can't round them up. I've talked about this. If we could round up the homeless and involuntarily commit them and say, we will get you mental health treatment, we will get you alcohol or drug, other drug counseling, we'll get you job training. But the ACLU would say, you can't involuntarily commit. If somebody chooses to live on the streets, then that's their choice. And that's the sad truth of most of the chronic homeless. And Jay Inslee used that to pitch for an income tax yesterday. So I challenge any reporter who covers Inslee, ask him how much. If we're already spending $100,000 per homeless person per year, according to the Puget Sound Business Journal, what'll solve this problem, Mr. Governor? $150,000 per homeless person per year? $200,000? Quarter million? How about a quarter million? Then do we solve the problem? So for a group of four homeless people out there, we'll spend $1 million a year on them. Then do we solve it? Or do they say, no, I don't want services, but a big chunk of that $1 million will go to labor unions? And to favored contractors, and to the homeless industrial complex. They can pay their Lehigh director $180,000 a year. Lots of six-figure jobs in the homeless industry. Think we're going to save lives if you get your income tax because a guy died yesterday? Of course not. This is the kind of soullessness that is dominating public discourse these days. It's sick. I could not believe my ears when I heard that from the governor. I'll talk more. State Representative Jim Walsh is going to come on with us right after 12:30 because I believe that this is a strategy to a far more insidious plot among the socialists, Marxists, in both Seattle and Olympia. And I'll go over that with the state rep coming up right after 12:30 this afternoon. But the weather, what should we expect there? Up next in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead, top story.
It has been the dominant story, not just of this week, but really most of last week, too. The weather, which I continue to love, even though I couldn't get out of my driveway this morning. But what's ahead? Nick Allard, Cairo 7 meteorologist, joins us, working his 400th consecutive hour. It's impressive.
You're not far off.
You know what you remind me of? Back when I was a kid, Nick, I would watch the old Cairo 7 Variety Club telethon, and I'd watch, they'd stay up all night and raise money. You are like a modern day Cairo 7 telethon.
That is the compliment of the day for me.
Good.
I will take that.
Yeah, right.
We've been working a few extra hours. I'm a little tired, but I think well, I'll put it this way. I've been staying in town because it's really difficult, and I have a four-wheel drive SUV, and one of my dad's biggest things when I was a kid, because he's from Boston, is he taught me how to drive in the snow. Like Sullivan was talking about the other day, Chris Sullivan was saying he took his son into a parking lot and showed him the ins and outs.
Yep.
I had a lot of that, which I'm really proud about. But at the same time, my neighborhood, you know, you and I were talking before, upwards of 8 inches to a foot at least, if not more, and it's all crispy and it's all frozen with a layer of 2 inches of ice underneath. So I've been staying here. So I feel the worst for my wife with three kids under seven just stuck in the house. she's a trooper, though. But yes, what's next? What's next is we're just going to see some more rain and snow and wet snow today. That band of rain will taper off as the afternoon goes on, and what you'll find is sort of just scattered slushy snow. I mean, I think if you're around 400, 500 feet, spotty random accumulation. But the idea is we're getting, say, to 38-ish in Seattle, probably about 35 in Everett. But the problem is, as we become a little spottier tonight, so less and less moisture and fewer showers,
right,
we'll see some breaks in the clouds, and guess what happens then?
Well, it gets colder, Nick. That's what I've learned over the years. And I don't even have a meteorology degree.
You know, you're one of the few to pick up on that. Yeah. I'm proud of you. Yeah, so it's not going to be like last week. You know, last week we had that awful north wind with temperatures in the single digits in the teens and the 20s. We're going to hover probably at around 29 to 32. So it's not going to be a huge widespread freeze, you know, like we have had. But if you think about how much slush is out there and areas of standing water with flood warnings because of all the melt, there's absolutely going to be some ice in the morning. And I'd be shocked if, and this is probably for the northern end, I'd be shocked if a lot of North Sound and North Interior schools had school tomorrow. You know, you might find delays for the south, but they've had more consistent rain and more melting. Not everybody. You know, Shelton has had a lot of snow because
right.
it had a bunch of cold air dammed against the back end of the Hood Canal. So, you know, it's just going to be a messy couple of days. How about that?
Okay, so you think because of the ice, there's a likelihood of some districts. How far north? I mean, what about Edmonds and Shoreline and all of that?
Well, you know, this morning, you know, yesterday we were talking about how that rain-snow line would probably park itself at around the Snohomish County line, and it ended up going sort of Bitter Lake Shoreline north. And so those spots saw snow all throughout the morning. And if you're driving around there, it is just a mess. And so, yes, I think some North King County schools, I think some Shoreline schools, I think Edmonds, I think keep going throughout the rest of Snohomish County. I think some Kitsap Peninsula schools. It's hard for me to say about Tacoma and Olympia because while they will get down to freezing tonight, they've had a lot of melting.
Okay.
So I think North Sound, I think Kitsap Peninsula, I think a lot of Clallam County schools. Oh, and you know really where? Foothill locations, oh my gosh, they've had like, I wish I had the number in front of me, what is it, 50 plus inches at Snoqualmie Pass in the past, what, 24 to 36 hours?
Oh my goodness.
And, you know, North Bend is not wiped off the map, but it's just under snow. It's crazy. So foothill locations, East Puget Sound lowlands, I mean, none of that's going to melt today.
Okay, now I want to make sure I understand this. North Bend has not been wiped off the map.
I can confirm.
Okay, all right. Yeah. I wanted to make sure.
Usually I'm going to wait for a second source, but today I'm going to go out on a limb.
Okay.
I can confirm.
They can handle a little snow in North Bend.
I know, they laugh at us.
I know.
Rightfully so.
It's still fun. I'm still loving this.
Well, we did go sledding for 2 or 3 hours a day for 3 days in a row, and it was really great, to the point where a brand new sled, my son broke it because he was one of those guys going off the the huge jumps and flying off his thing, you know, all that kind of stuff that hurts me for watching.
Well, here's the thing. Our neighbor boys, they have a hill in their backyard, and they built two little jumps. So I'm out there yesterday on the boogie board, and I'm going off.
There better be video of this.
I do have it. I don't know if I've posted it. But so I'm going off the jumps, just riding on my knees. True story, 2:30 a.m., Nick. We got this, some of that anti-inflammatory cream that if you smuggle it in from Canada, it costs like 1/100th of what it costs here. I am rubbing down my knees like I had just crawled a marathon. It was pathetic. It was a pathetic scene, Nick.
Yeah, I trust me. I know it. Even just having to go down the hill and help my four-year-old up the hill and then crawling back up, I pulled things I didn't know I had.
You know what? Three kids under seven. We were there at one point. Bless your wife. Just bless her.
I know. And she's the one that says, you know what? It's too dangerous. Please just stay there. I'm like, are you sure? And then she takes a deep breath, looks around. Yes, that's fine.
Yeah, yeah, okay. But you know what? She's got so many credit chips
now.
Oh,
I know it.
You are done.
I'm already taking the kids away for the weekend just to give her a whole weekend. If we can get out of there, I'm doing it.
Okay, good for you. All right, Nick, we'll stay in touch. I appreciate it.
Anytime.
Nick Allard, Cairo 7 meteorologist. So I'm freezing tonight. And the beat goes on around. But I'm serious. I still love it. It was tough getting in today. Today was the toughest day. I finally had to borrow my youngest daughter's car to get in here because she was the only one parked in a way that could get out of our driveway. But still a fun little challenge. Up next in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead, Big Local.
Another traffic report out. Seattle area, Puget Sound area, sixth worst traffic in America. I'm going to go a little more in depth later this afternoon on this, but I want to repeat what I said when they shut down the viaduct and the tunnel wasn't open and they were predicting this traffic nightmare. I don't even remember what they called it because it was such a phony, contrived name a couple of weeks ago. And it turns out it wasn't bad at all because people were incentivized to use other ways to get around. If we spent 1/10 of what we're spending on Sound Transit to incentivize businesses to let employees work at the location nearest their home, telecommute once in a while, we could solve our region's problems without almost any public cost. But instead, we have the sixth worst traffic. Why? It's all generated on purpose because they want to be able to demand tax hikes. You know, they close down downtown streets for bike lanes. They do the Sound Transit, which is useless and already outmoded. And then they say, oh, look, our traffic's so bad. If you want to solve it, you got to raise taxes. You want to solve the homelessness? Raise your taxes. You want to solve traffic? Raise your taxes. But we already give you more money than we've ever given in our history, adjusted for inflation and population. Doesn't matter. Give us more money. That's what it's all about. And that is your Big Lead for today.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
I want to talk more about Jay Inslee pushing for an income tax because a homeless guy died in the snow. State Representative Jim Walsh is going to join us from Olympia next on the Dory Monson Show. Well, if you were listening to my Big Lead, you heard me go off because of what Jay Inslee said yesterday.
I want to say something, too, and I hope it's not too off talk of it, but I have to say it. When I think of our community that has homeless people who actually, one of whom lost their life to exposure, and realize that we don't have a system to handle this problem in the state, it kind of drives me nuts, given the wealth that exists in the state of Washington. And I just want to note that because today in the legislature, we have a proposal to have a tax system on really high income people that in part will help deal with this.
And what Jay Inslee is talking about is an income tax. He calls it a capital gains tax. There is no debate. I've gone through exactly how and why that's an income tax. And so Jay Inslee says the solution to a snowstorm is something that is unconstitutional in the state of Washington. Representative Jim Walsh joins us from Olympia. Representative, good to talk to you this afternoon.
It's good to talk to you, Dory, as always.
I got to tell you, I was really genuinely infuriated hearing the governor use the death of a homeless person to pitch for something that is unconstitutional in our state. I've gotten used to politics being kind of crass, but that's about as bad as it gets in my view, Representative.
Well, the governor is reaching new heights or lows.
Yeah, let's go for depth.
Cynicism. It's just shocking, some of the things he's saying and doing. In my neck of the woods, you know, the governor has opposed a couple of really important industrial projects, prime among them, the Millennium Bulk Terminal, Export Terminal in Longview, and always claimed that it was not a political calculation, that it was just policy, just process. And then recently he's turned that around and admitted to some of his would-be green supporters for his presidential campaign that it was politics, that it was a political calculation to oppose those projects. And they're kind of scrambling for cover now. They're blaming and throwing under the bus at a person who was staffed to his presidential campaign. But the fact is, it's politics. This is all politics. The Millennium Terminal project is politics. The homeless housing projects are politics. This is not good policy that this governor's putting forward. It's a cynical political calculation.
Well, he was signed on. He was named in the Green New Deal policy paper that came out a couple of days ago. And, you know, I heard the president compare it to a bad high school term paper. I said on my show, Representative, if any of my daughters had written that paper in middle school, my wife and I would have been embarrassed. We would have been humiliated that we had done such a...
I saw that online, Dory. I read that when you posted it.
Oh, my goodness.
I agree. No, I completely agree.
It was like an average fourth grader, not even an exceptional fourth grader's project. But the governor was signed on to this, and it's calling for a complete revamping of our nation's energy with technologies that don't even exist, or certainly don't exist to the level that it could, you know, supplant coal and gas and oil and all of that. And I have deep fears about what's going on with all of this, and I'll share that with you in a minute, but I just wanted to get your reaction to all of that.
It's preposterous, Dory. I mean, they want non-carbon energy sources. Okay, fine. But they don't like hydro, which is non-carbon, and they don't like nuclear, which is non-carbon. So it's really not about non-carbon energy sources. It's not. The environmental movement, as currently shaped here in the state and in our nation, is not real. It's not serious. They don't mean what they say they mean. It's not about zero carbon energy sources. It's about control. It's about control over people. It's about control over utilities. It's about control.
Well, and here's my fear, and I'll get your reaction to this as well. I was thinking a lot about this morning. You know, they're talking about spending a gazillion dollars on all of this. I mean, the number that's been put out there is $100 trillion. I happen to believe our $23 trillion national debt is the greatest threat facing our nation and my kids and my grandkids when I have them. And my fear, Representative, is that this is actually an insidious plot that would lead to hyperinflation. It would lead to, you know, breaking anybody who's achieved anything and saved anything. And then the socialists can start to rebuild in their own image, which is exactly what is in their policy papers. And, you know, we've got one on the Seattle City Council. We've got others who are running. And I truly believe it's more than just politics, but I think it's a pretty insidious long-term game plan.
Yeah, absolutely. And it starts with debasing the currency. And you see that already in this Green New Deal that the young congresswoman, you know, produced. They want to basically debase the currency and print money to pay for these goofball projects.
Right, and that's what leads to hyperinflation. You know,
Yeah, it just and there you go, and you see it everywhere. We're seeing it in Venezuela now. You see it every time these people get in a position of authority. You see these policies that go down that slippery slope toward hyperinflation and economic ruin. And I don't believe that the people of this state want any part of that. I mean, I believe that there may be people in Seattle who want to push a moderate to liberal public policy. But I don't think they want this goofball stuff. I don't think they want hyperinflation. I don't think they want to run Amazon out of Seattle. I don't think they want the ridiculous excesses that some of these so-called socialists are pushing. And I'm really worried that the governor, in his ambition to get national, reputation, is falling in with some of the goofballs.
Oh, yeah, there's no question about it. I mean, even Bill Gates yesterday said that this, and I don't remember what it's called, but it's the new approach to money that defies all economic principles. And, Bill Gates said, look, this just isn't realistic. And but seriously, it's like we're getting fourth graders in charge in some really key areas here, Jim.
It's a pendulum, Dory. It's a pendulum. I think the pendulum of this, emotion-based, childish, broad strokes politics, I think it's swung as far as it's going to go. I think it's going to swing back to people who, I mean, we can have a debate over slightly conservative or slightly liberal or whatever points of public policy and how do we pay for homeless housing. That's a legitimate conversation. But this stuff, justifying an unconstitutional income tax because of a tragedy on the streets of Seattle, this is cynicism. This is emotionalism. This is not good public policy. It's just bad.
Amen. We'll keep fighting the fight down there, Representative. I appreciate it.
It's still fun, Dory. It's still fun. Every day we fight back a little more.
There you go. I know that I've been emboldened lately. That's for darn sure. All right, Representative, good talking with you.
Talk to you soon, man.
Representative Jim Walsh joining us. Love to hear your thoughts. You can text us at 98973. That's 98973, the Online Trading Academy text line. Lots more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. I was excited. Bruce Springsteen was coming to town. He was going to do his entire The River album. And I had on the show, I'm not going to name names because I don't have any gripe with this guy, but I had on the show one of the most prominent rock chroniclers in our region, who also was a Springsteen biographer. And he told me that when Springsteen wrote The River, it was his response to Reagan-era politics. And as I was doing the interview, I got a text from a friend of mine who's in the music industry, a Grammy Award winner. Yeah, I know Grammy winners. And he said, "That's odd that your guest says The River is a response to Reagan-era policies. Jimmy Carter was president when it was released." And it was true. I looked it up. I checked it out. People just say things for, political expediency. One of the Democrat rising stars and a strong contender for president in 2020. It's California Senator Kamala Harris, and she went on The Breakfast Club, which is it's an African-American hosted, and its target audience is African-Americans in New York City. Very, very successful show. So Kamala Harris was in studio with them, and she talked about how she loved smoking weed when she was in college.
Have you ever smoked?
I have.
Okay.
I did inhale. It was a long time ago, but yes.
I know you have to go. They say you have to go.
I just broke loose.
I mean, was it in college? Uh-huh. See, I like stuff like that. That's a real honest ass duel. Was it a blunt or joint?
It was a joint.
Hey.
Yeah.
You remember the high?
I do.
So if it was legalized all throughout the country and medicinal, would you, you know, do it?
Listen, again? I think that it gives a lot of people joy, and we need more joy.
We need more joy in this world.
What does Kamala Harris listen to?
What were you listening to when you was high? What was on? What song was it?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, yeah, definitely Snoop. Uh-huh. Tupac. For sure. For sure.
No, it's a lie. It's not for sure. Because some part of that story is a lie. Because Kamala Harris says that she got high in college. I mean, that sounds like it was the only time that she did it. And she listened to Tupac and Snoop. Ah, slight problem. Kamala Harris graduated undergrad in 1986, graduated law school in 1989. Tupac's first album came out in 1991. Snoop's first album came out in 1993. How do these politicians think that they can just say stuff and what, nobody would fact check it? Nobody would check to see what you were listening to when you were getting high in college? And it did. It reminded me of, you know, the Springsteen biographer. He was responding to Reagan-era policies. I guess in anticipation that Reagan might get elected in a few months? Come on. You know, it also reminded me of, on that same show, The Breakfast Club in NYC, Hillary went on in 2016. And that was one of the most cringe-inducing interviews ever because of this moment.
What's something that you always carry with you?
Hot sauce.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, think about this. Hillary's on a show, and she knows what the demos are. And the one thing she always carries is hot sauce. Oh, that'll get you the African-American vote, Hillary.
What's something that you always carry with you?
Hot sauce.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Are you getting information right now?
Hot sauce.
Hot sauce in my bag, Swag?
Hot sauce.
Really?
Yes.
Now, listen,
yes.
The host right then and there should have said, bring us your purse. Show me the hot sauce right now. She doesn't carry hot sauce. And Kamala Harris didn't get high listening to Tupac and Snoop in college. Period. You know what they say? Democracy dies in darkness. And that's why there is the Dory Monson Show. Fastest 15 is coming up next.